Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's a Faith and Family Friday, along with my dear and sweet wife, Carrie. Hi, dear.
Hey, Tom.
You're my best friend.
Thanks, Tom.
Isn't that a great way? Am I your best friend?
You are my best friend.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Wait, who else would be above you?
I don't know.
Sound surprised.
Well, if I thought about it for another 2 seconds, I probably would have said, well, of course I'm your best friend, but I should presume to have that place. Today we're going to talk about friendship, loneliness, the ache in the heart, relationships, and also bring us up to date on some things happening in our lives. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and on this beautiful solemnity of the most sacred heart of Jesus, we do ask and we beg for a more intimate and profound friendship with Jesus. Lord, may we always seek to have you as the heart of every friendship, the heart of our lives, and the one whom we follow most fervently and completely. Lord, welcome us into your heart. Draw us more fully into your heart. And may we glorify you today. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, a couple of firsts here in this program. I've never in my life drunk a cup of coffee out of a pickle jar. I got that from one of our daughters.
Was the coffee mug not big enough?
The coffee mugs that were left were too small. And so I went all the way to the pickle jar. Now, folks, it's a pickle jar without a label, and it's been washed and cleaned. And our kids use them for like iced coffees.
And right? Water, yes.
Oh, and water, yeah.
It's
and other drinks.
Well, actually, I saved them for all the flowers I was going to put together.
Whoops.
And make bouquets as, you know, use them as vases. But now they're using them as glasses. I don't even think they're considered a glass. It's more like a liter.
Yeah, this is like a mini jug, but it goes
it's very
to show.
Classy.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things you tend to fill the cup you're given. Well, Currens do. And so I had more coffee poured into this than I think I typically would have had in two cups. Pretty close.
Now we are the opposite. I would go with the smallest possible.
The thimble cup?
Yes.
Nice.
And then you'd feel like, that's so much. This is amazing. It's filled to the
That's
top.
That's not true.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We would give the kids smaller bowls for ice cream and they would get a full bowl, but the bowl was 1/4 the size of.
Oh, you're like a modern marketer and food stores. They shrink the size of the packaging and they raise the price. So they keep it
all
the
over that. I
wow.
See exactly
you
how much
it.
Things are.
That, I had no idea why you always recognize that so quickly. It's in you.
It is in me.
You. Yeah. Well, Carrie, today we're going to talk about stuff that's in us as human beings. What are we made for in the depth of our hearts, created in the image of the triune God? That's a profound statement right there. And it does etch into the core. It carves into the depths of our being a certain dynamic and a certain need, an authentic need, not a neediness, not a brokenness, but an authentic need for life-giving relationships. And we're going to focus on a form of that called friendship and how that has many different manifestations and it can show up in many different relationships. Along the way, we're also going to check in. I want to check in on how's your 10X life going,
the
dear?
The 10X.
Yeah.
And you said this morning, and how's it going? I thought, how's what going? So it's going good. It's still in the front of my mind. I don't feel like it's 10X. I think 2X would be more accurate. I gained a couple pounds this week and then I lost a couple pounds. So
Carrie, that's not the idea of 2X. You're not supposed to 2X your weight. Okay.
I am 2X.
That is not what you're trying to do.
You do not understand. This is a thing. And then spiritually speaking, more intentional in getting up earlier and making time, but I still don't feel like, I still feel there's a ways to go.
So if I have to be honest, if I said, what was the banner over my week? It wasn't 10X. It was He Leadeth Me. That book continues to exercise such a powerful influence on my life. And specifically, it is now forging into my consciousness of the day-to-day a quicker and more fundamental act of trusting God, that God is going to take care of the stressful situations and circumstances that I'm facing. And so I'm finding that it's not that it's gotten easier. In fact, that was one of the key points in his book, Father Chizik's book, is no, when you understand that everything is God's provident will for your life, and he intends to come to you and manifest and pour himself into you through everything that's happening in your life, it's not that life gets easier, but there's more peace in the midst of it. And I think that's what I found. There's a beautiful timeliness to these truths being sown into my life, because I'm trying to think of a week that has had more stress and pressure around the multiple contracts that I'm in for buying houses, selling houses, and helping the buyers and sellers and the renters that we have, and coming and going, and then helping our kids at the house. And
the kids at the house has taken a toll on you. Plus you had a basketball game this week.
I just showed up.
Just saying you had some time.
I haven't gone to any practice. Come on. I've had a few phone calls. But I showed up at 10 minutes of still doing real estate work before, until I literally showed up, wrote out the list of players and handed it in. And,
it was probably a nice break from your actual work day.
Oh, it was huge. It was so nice. It was good to break away from the stresses and pressures. And then when it was over, back into it again. So,
so that book has really helped this week and last week come alive.
Truths will blossom. Like, they'll take root and then they'll begin to grow and blossom. And it's hard to know what a blossom will look like or feel like or smell like or how it'll extend when you just are looking at the seed and a picture on the cover of the bag of seeds. And you can read about what people say it's like to have those flowers in your garden, but until you actually are nurturing those seeds, there's newness. And I'm living the same life that I've lived, but I'm living it in a new way because of this more fundamental act of abandoning myself to everything happening in my life, abandoning myself to God's will. This is God's will for me. What's happening right now? He's not just permitting it. He's coming to me in this, and he's going to take care of me. And I've seen the hand of God taking care of things, I think in part because I'm relating to it with more trust. So I'm more surrendered. It doesn't mean I don't put in effort, but I don't have to quote unquote try to figure it out. I do what I can, and God takes care of the rest. And that has been a beautiful advance. So is there a 10X part of that? I don't know. I guess so. But I would say that some of the themes that were part of my 10X vision for my September 1st life, those have not been realized. And those were in terms of what I'm going to be spending my life on professionally and in ministry and spiritually and health and fitness wise. All of those, no, I have not gotten or gone to.
I think you've just been this. Too busy.
I've been too busy.
Try to come up with a plan. Me, on the other hand, I have lots of time. I just hang out with all the kids, make you breakfast, you lunch, make you dinner. What else can I get for you, honey, as you work? It's been really trying having all the kids home. And I think I've lost freedoms that I took for granted. And just am not sure I love having all my kids home. Is that, I know that sounds terrible, but many people have come up and said, isn't it so great to have all your kids home? And I really want to say, yes, it's so wonderful. And it was really wonderful for 3 or 4 days. And now it feels hard and work and pressure.
Is that because you feel as if you're in the shepherding role again?
Yes.
Tending the sheep, discipling, using the rod and the staff, using a lot of the rod. Get going. Come on, get moving. Like, and they think they're on vacation and you're thinking, no, you're in that prison camp, labor camp. Let's go.
I need to take on more of the He Leadeth Me spirit. I love having my kids home and yet it's a lot of work. So I'm just not going to make it sound like it's all great and wonderful. And that it is, you know, it is in giving that you receive. It is in the pouring out. It is in the just donating of time and limiting my own will. And
it's
surrendering.
Fulfilling. That's the key word. That's the paradox of the Christian life, not of human life, of the Christian life.
That's a good distinction.
Right. At a human level, you pour out and you're empty. And you know what? You feel empty. In the Christian dimension, the dimension of Christ's life within us, it is in pouring out that we are fulfilled. Why? Not because we're not emptied, but rather because, do you want me to tell you?
Yes, I'm waiting.
We're fulfilled because our pouring out is a response to the initiative of Christ in us to allow him to live his poured out life in and through our life.
I think I might be missing some of that.
So, but think about it.
Pouring out in the human measure.
Folks, think about it. If all you're doing is pouring out at a human level, you're going to be empty and you're going to be frustrated and you're going to say, no, doesn't anybody appreciate what I'm doing and everything I'm giving? And why aren't you doing more? And that is frustrating. But if it's at the service of my call, the duty of my state in life, and I'm pouring out right now, I'm doing so through, with, and in Jesus, through the ministry and motivating power of the Holy Spirit, so that the pouring out action becomes a Christ-like Christ action. And it's the Holy Spirit that is moving through my movements of pouring out. So there's a fulfillment that comes literally in the pouring out.
That's awesome. I think I feel sad that I don't have more of that attitude or that spirit, which would bring more joy and peace and fulfillment. I think I do still kind of grit my teeth and try to do it on my own efforts. And it's a constant conversation I'm having with God. Help me to do this with a joyful heart for you as a witness. Because you died for me, I want to give my life for them. And I just am weak. I just don't have this natural, and there's seasons, I'll say that. But I think I'm just surprised at how every day, most moments throughout the day, I am seeing them in my space, quote unquote. And it's an adjustment. It's good though. I'm obviously would rather have them here than not. But I think when you run up against your own limits, it's hard.
Yeah, when I run up against your limits, it's hard. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be this way.
No.
I'm made for more. I'm to be better than this. And so it's hard to.
But Carrie, you remember the three moments in the dynamism of a life of disciple. You have your call. And then what's the next moment? The first moment is recognizing you have a call that comes from God as a wife and a mother, right? As a daughter of God,
yes,
wife
got
and mother.
That. Uh-huh.
What's the second moment?
Surrender.
Powerlessness.
Powerlessness.
Right? It's when you are brought to the limits where you experience incapacity, and that is the next gift.
Well, I think the Lord's trying to show me that.
Yeah. And then it's through that. It's remember, what's that position called? Holy desperation.
Yes.
Praiseworthy desperation. That then comes God's power. That's where the empowerment comes in. And so the gift of being brought to our powerlessness is what we're, you know, called to. So the kids are giving you a gift, dear. They're giving you this beautiful gift. I love, one of the things I do really, I feel almost nervous about. I've never said this out loud, and nervous is maybe too strong a word, is that I never hear our kids fight.
That makes you nervous.
Well, the fact that our two boys are together all the time. They are each other's best friends. And they're with each other morning, noon, and night. They're never just doing something alone. Their best friends here are common friends. And so now they're working together at the same company.
And your daughters are best friends.
And our daughters that are away at college are best friends. And, yeah. And so they're not running around to go find other friends. They're friends together. And then the three girls at home, they hang out together so much as well. That gift of being able to enjoy each other, brothers and sisters, parents, please. The gift that you can give your kids is help foster within them a capacity and a space for each other. That communion of persons, that brings peace. That brings a sense of identity. I'm affirmed and confirmed in who I am. I'm named, I'm known, I'm celebrated. And therefore I can launch from there with a sense of confidence. And I can come back there when I'm struggling. So I it's almost as if I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. Like, when are they going to fight again? You know, when are they going to yell at each other and fight and have to reconcile and get into a big battle and have to figure stuff out? I don't think it's ever happened.
I think you and I have more disagreements than they do.
Oh, I totally disagree. Come on. That was too easy,
that's
dear.
Too calm.
Too much. That was my humor too. All right. Yeah, you're right. We're up against a break. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. I'm with my wife, Carrie, and this is Tom. Yay. And Carrie, we talk about being in relationships that involve celebration, acknowledgement, all of that. That's also a big theme this weekend and next weekend. I think those are probably the two most prominent weekends. And
unless you live in Boise, they graduated 2 weeks ago.
Okay. So we're talking about graduations. And I had no idea. We don't have someone graduating, but it feels like there are graduation cards all over our, you post them up. You collect them and you put them up on the wall or on a calendar.
If you have a senior or even a junior, you definitely have 5 to 10 graduation parties that you need to attend in the next 2 weekends. It's high school graduation.
Carrie, they want to attend. We need to attend.
Want to attend also, but there is mom's duty of providing cards and gifts and some kind of congratulations to all of these kids and attending the different graduation ceremonies. And there's a lot of logistics because you're trying to fit in 3 or 4 in a day and timing. I have this great hack though. Can I
actually
just share?
No, I've got the best hack.
No, I have the best
hack. No, listen, the best hack is if you want to get a card ready, the best place to do it is when everyone's together in the minutes before you arrive at the house. Pull out the card in the car and everyone's scribbling something. You're not leaving the car until you're
unless right. You come in 3 cars.
Oh my goodness. That is terrible when that happens.
We're going to have to just sit down and do this.
That's notorious. I'm sorry. What's your hack, dude?
Well,
avoid that is what you want to say.
Okay. I think most high school kids want cash, but it just seems so basic. And then it was gift cards.
I'll take basic all day.
But then they'll lose a gift card. So I was trying to figure out a way. So my daughter said, why don't you just go get gift cards at Costco? You can get those 4 for $80. So they're $25 each. So it doesn't look too cheap.
That's for wake up call, right?
Or it could be others. There's Cold Stone and depending on where you live and where your Costco is. And then just put that in a nice little
gift. So what you're saying is you can get a $25 gift card for $20?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
So it's 20% savings.
Yeah, let's go.
And it's nice. They like to get those drinks. I'm telling you, Red Bull, if you don't have stock in that company, it is all the rage. All these energy drinks that kids are drinking. And put in a couple. I was just thinking of getting I saw first aid kit or some mints or some fun chocolates.
Something you just said mints, chocolates,
like little.
And a first aid kit.
Like a mini.
What is a you're going to have to draw your line. Draw the line. You went
sense.
Red Bull. First aid kit. Mints and chocolates. Okay.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at juggler, but I cannot track that, Carrie.
For 10 every day.
Okay.
Three times a day. Actually, only twice a day.
No, seriously, what's with the first aid kit?
It was just this cute idea where they're going off to college for the first time. So, or you could do a little sewing kit, just something cute. It's nothing real significant. And that they're going to, oh my goodness, what am I going to do without this? It's more just a cute symbol.
So what am I doing to help our kids get ready? I'm totally cutting you off here. I'm trying to teach our kids stuff that they need to know how to do as they get older in life. So changing a car battery, right?
How about buying a car battery?
Can we start with that? There are steps involved.
Where do you buy it at?
Okay. So Napa. There's a car we had garaged. We talked about that. And we let the kids know when we sat down and said, here's how much extra money it is. We did it live with them. Here's how much the insurance is garaged. Here's how much it is now ungaraged. This is what you guys are paying. You guys are covering the gas. This is the car that you guys are using. Okay, great. Oh, it needs a new battery. Great. How do you change a battery? Well, these guys, powerless. Oh, I'm powerless. So I said, I am not going to do it. So I said, go out there and figure it out. How long did it take?
You have a YouTube.
4 minutes. Oh, yeah. Go to YouTube.
Anything.
What kind of car is it? Here's the car. Go figure it out. So one son had a job. He had to get the car battery out of the car. The other son had the job of going and buying a car battery. Dad, powerless. Where do I buy a car battery? What kind of car battery do I buy? So what kind of car do we have? Figure it out.
Ask questions. I don't think they're questioners.
Well, I think it's the generational thing to say, I can be a problem solver. I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to take care of it. So I attempted to equip these guys and
you had to leave.
I was too busy doing other stuff. I just said, I can't be doing this. And my boys have to learn how to do something like, how do you shop for an auto part at an auto parts store? And how do you change a battery? Well, they both got D's or a D and a, well, yeah, they did not score very high.
They spent 40% more.
Yeah, but it was good. Dad, he told me it was a good one. It was better.
Oh, I should have gone with him. I didn't. Yeah, you don't send him shopping.
And the second one was, so he overpaid for a battery.
Absolutely.
Okay, he absolutely paid.
I looked at the price at Costco.
Hey, it was a really good battery.
It was like $100 more.
All right, slow down. Well, my other son got stopped. He didn't know how to take off the plastic protector. And then he didn't know how to take off the battery tops. And he came in, he's like, Dad. And I'm like, you're using pliers. I said, use a wrench.
Wait, what's a wrench?
Oh my goodness.
So they leave. They had to go. Yeah. And they left Ariana and her friend to finish. No, she'll fix everything. She knows how to figure it out.
So what did I send her to do? Change the oil.
Oh, that's right.
And so I told her, when you go to a place like Jiffy Lube, you go in there and you have to recognize they're going to upsell you on all this stuff. You go in and you say, I don't need synthetic. I don't need a blend. Give me the basic oil. I want 5W30. Go look it up. It's my car. And I don't want anything. Air filter.
No, they
want
to
don't
take
change
it for
the wipers. The guys came in. They saw this blonde haired teenage girl in a car.
She goes, we had four guys helping us. I said, were they slow? Oh yeah, they're slow. They're all helping us with our car, selling us stuff. She felt like a little princess with all the attention they were giving them. It was pretty cute. So then when they were doing the battery, she could not get the something was stuck onto something else. So our neighbors were out. I said, just go ask our neighbors. They have every tool. They know how to use every tool. I said, just go over there and say, can you help me? I'm trying to finish changing this car battery. I was pleading dumb blonde. I was, go for it. You got blonde hair. You're cute. It's the quickest way.
That's how it got finished? Did you tell me that? I cannot believe it.
No, she didn't do it. But she finished it.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying that's what I would have done.
Oh, you're funny.
Just gone over and asked for help.
Batted eyes.
Please help.
That's what you did to me. Oh, my goodness.
Anyhow.
So she ended up going to, I said, here's how you get the coupon online. Make them give you a price and then pull out the coupon on your phone. And they ended up saying she didn't even need service. That they topped off all the fluids and said goodbye. And so she was running a victory lap. She got an A. So these are the, like you talk about going off to college. This is about launching into life, learning about how to do these things.
Well, I just was listening to Clark Howard saying how for talking about high school and college kids, they don't have any courses on finances. You have math courses on trig, geometry, algebra, but to really learn, how does life work? How do numbers work? How does inflation work? How does percentages work when you go to the store and you comparison shop? I mean, just basic things like that, Tom. And I think kids and families right now are realizing, oh my goodness, with the cost of everything, there are some lessons that need to be learned quickly. And it's intuitive to me. I'm naturally always looking for the comparison, but I realize I care way more about that than any of my kids, except for one, maybe two. And I'm looking at my children and I see some of my siblings, because you can look at your siblings and see, oh, not everyone is gifted in different ways and everyone has different strengths. And I see that with some of my kids. They do not have the number strength or the frugal strength or the
street smarts
versus just brain smarts. I mean, you need both. Anyhow, it's really interesting to see them in this next phase of life. And you have been working, I don't know, like 3 hours a day helping them with phones and setting up apps. They all have these apps they need for their jobs and trying to help them
just
with
navigating, getting into a job and salary and hours and working hard to be successful at the position, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It is.
But that's the investment, right? Yes, that's the fatherly investment in the kids. And what is, I got to tell you, this is that he leadeth me again is, you know, my son comes in and says, Dad, can you help me? Is what he's saying. Can you help me without saying those words? And I am faced with, he has no idea, the pressure from four different points in this text, this phone call voicemail, this email, this other commitment I have to get to this appointment and be ready. And then all of these things are all pressing in on me. And then he comes in and looks me in the eyes and says, Dad, can you help me right now? And I think I was quicker to always say, I'm going to push these other things aside and I'm just going to attend to you. And now I'm saying, I'm happy to help you, but I can't help you now. If you want my help, you have to get up earlier, or you have to be willing to sacrifice something at another time that's pleasant for you when I can be available to serve you. Basically, make an appointment.
I have you all so well trained. They all go to you for help. You help. Oh my goodness. So if you weren't working from home.
Oh, you're so funny. You are so funny.
They couldn't bug you.
All right. But I love the relationship. So I love having my kids at home, right? So Carrie, there's a phenomenon happening now. Oh, are we high school graduations? I cut you off. Is there any other, what are the hacks or points about that?
Well, like I said, it's just a quandary when you have a senior. Our son didn't graduate from high school, but he has a lot of senior friends.
No, he finished high school a year early. Oh. I'll say he didn't graduate from high school. He didn't go through high school graduation as a senior.
I guess, but I feel like he just skipped his senior year. Does it matter? I guess it could matter.
Language matters.
Yes, he has a diploma of some sort that they accepted. However, I just was trying to figure out a way to do this and not have it be complicated. So we were going to do little gift bags with little treats and a gift card. And most important, everyone sign the card and write something encouraging and uplifting and just a personal note. So that's the hard part for mom is, how do you get 7-8 kids to sign a card?
So think about this.
10 cards, 12
cards. Parents, think about this. When you've received gifts that involve a card and then something in the card, how impactful is it when someone takes the time to handwrite a personal note, not just congrats, senior, best of luck, Tom, right? Versus something that is personal and thought out and celebratory, right? Truly acknowledging that this person is a gift, has gifts and some blessing maybe. That is so powerful. And maybe that's just my love language, but I think most people would value so much that personal attention, the time and energy and focus that goes into writing a meaningful note.
We went to a bridal shower and I thought in my head, we'll have everything ready 3 days ahead of time. My daughter bought the gifts. And of course, on the way to the party, I am writing that fast, quick, the Lord be with you. May God bless you. We are so excited for you. And, you know, that kind of thing. And just in my mind thinking, this is not how I wanted to write this card. And the bridal shower was wonderful. What was so special was all the family, sisters, cousins, seeing family together like that when we have moved from family is both sweet and bitter. It is the sense of sadness of, oh, I've left my nieces and nephews and my kids don't have their cousins or my sisters aren't here. And all these huge milestones we'll be facing and are facing. So just not having family around. And then also just seeing how they celebrate family and just the importance of that and the power of that. Anyhow, I know that's a side note, but yeah, I did the quick congratulations. You guys will be amazing. God loves you.
So I did something I've never done before related to one of my dearest friends towards the end of my high school into for probably maybe 7 to 10 years. I mentioned on the program that he died suddenly, unexpectedly, about a week and a half ago. And when I found out, it was just from a message on Facebook. And then I said, well, it must be true, but I'm going to call his cell phone. So I called his cell phone and I went to voicemail and I left him a message.
Aww.
I left him a message and I thanked him. I thanked him for our friendship. And I was leaving in a certain sense, it's just sort of a bouquet, like the flowers, right? It was my way of saying, thank you, Mike, and I went on, I left a long message and it just was my gratitude for Mike and for the part that he played in my life during the years that he was there and that I would be praying for him and that I would see him again in heaven.
Then it'd go beep. Yeah. Would you like to continue? Would you like to delete this message?
It
Do you
didn't.
Like this message?
Yeah. But my guess is that at some point someone's going to stumble into that. And I want them to not just have me write a little note of condolence on Facebook or even write them a simple message to hear my voice and the way that it flowed out of me in that moment, I thought was more honoring and would be a greater blessing to the family. So that's why I did it.
That's really beautiful. I really love that. I think for you also, it was a good way to put a nice ending to his life.
Well, and it made me want to do more in terms of expressing, because a lot of people didn't know him the way I got the gift of being able to know him. In fact, his funeral is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So God bless him. And pray for the repose of the soul of my dear friend, Michael Shannon. All right. God bless you guys. We'll be back in a minute with more of the program.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, we're talking about, well, just remembering Mike and you talking about your sisters and our kids with their nieces and nephews that they got to be near geographically and have a lot of shared memories. It does bring us back around to that theme of friendship. And it's a gem in life, having friends. And I know that you've spent a bit of time reflecting on this more. I don't even know where the theme came from. I don't know if it was that John Mark Comer's whole emphasis on that or that recent podcast, but I know it's led you down a trail and that's opened up some conversations that we've had when we were away on our little reflection time and it continues.
I believe we were talking about your 3 to 5 close
intimates.
Friends. The modern way of saying it is your jacuzzi friends. Who you would...
Since I've never had a jacuzzi, I don't really...
Or who you'd celebrate birthdays with. answer their texts immediately, pick up the phone if they call, just very close, kind of day-to-day or every other day contact with, and how things are going. I don't know if we even talked about this, but then it was the 12 friends, the tribe. And so I think John Mark reflects on the fact that Jesus had a couple of close disciples. Do you know who they are?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. Do I even have to answer this? Peter, James, and John?
Peter, James, and John. And then he had his 12 disciples. And then it goes out from there. And so then we talked about our 12 closer friends.
All right, I'm going to just theologically test you back.
Oh, no.
Scripturally test you back. Why Peter, James, and John? What's the evidence that Peter, James, and John had the special relationship?
Oh, I listened to the podcast. Oh, they went up to the garden. They went to the garden and they fell asleep on him.
Beautiful. Great friends. Okay, so that's one instance.
Okay.
They were in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Something about when he appeared, when he came back, he appeared to them.
No.
Darn.
You said going up. The Mount of Transfiguration.
Oh, okay, the Mount.
That was another one.
Okay.
Oh, Peter, James, and John only. And there's a third one.
Give me a hint.
Had to do with someone who is sick.
I don't know.
There was, I believe it was a sick little girl. And Peter, James, and John came into the room with Jesus.
Okay.
And he said, little girl, get up. Like she was dead. And so they witnessed that.
So even Jesus has his favorites?
Is it? Well, so actually that's the difference. That would be a really interesting thing to think about is what's the difference between friends and brothers or brothers and sisters, right? You know what the difference.
Yes, you don't choose your brothers and sisters.
You choose your friends. Brothers and sisters are connected to a call.
But sometimes you can be friends with your brothers and
exactly.
sisters.
Exactly. And so it can be that sometimes you're called to be in relationship with people that are not your friends. We would talk about that in household. In men's household, we would be together with guys that also felt a call to household. And some of these guys would not have been guys I would have chosen to become friends with. But they were guys who felt a common call with me to pursue God in a certain way. So that's kind of moving us a little bit away. I want to come back to what were talking about.
Those would be called your about friends. And they say affection isn't enough to sustain a friendship. You need a clear and compelling about to keep a friendship active.
Is you're a quote unquote about friends, ABOUT. You're about something. Yeah, that's so funny. You remind me of the rector of the North American College. You have to know who you are and what you are to be about, which is a way of saying what's your mission, what's your purpose, right? Yeah. So it's that type of idea. So an about friend, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. What did you think of about friends when they say, oh, is that person an about friend? What were they referring to?
Well, the gal that wrote this book, it was called Modern Friendships, something like that. And she's not married. So I think it changes significantly when you have kids, because then your friends become, you're going to this athletic event or you're going to this concert, like your children are in a symphony, or you're part of a play group or part of a co-op or part of a
chess club. No, so for me, that's, but you're a Klingon friendship. Those are Klingon friends.
No, this is
my kids are about volleyball. So now I'm clinging on to my kid going to volleyball and I bump into these other parents.
I think it's,
that's different.
I think it's a little bit trickier to have good, deep friendships when you're a parent in the parenting ages, especially when you have little ones. And I mean, they do this whole study, and John Mark Comer talks about the loneliness pandemic and just the social epidemic of loneliness in our culture today. And so even though we're more connected than ever before, there's this lack of community. It's more a technology connectivity or false connectivity. And so he says that 54% of people, adult Americans, say that no one knows them well. And 36% of Americans say they feel lonely frequently or almost all of the time. That's a lot. And then it goes up to 51% for your young mothers, because you are home with those kids and it's just overwhelming and you're exhausted. And then 61% for young adults, which you think they have all the freedom in the world to make friends
and do fun stuff and
connect. And you, and I think we've talked about, you know, they've started these book clubs or they started these journal clubs or they started these workout clubs because people are trying to figure out a way to connect, because church in the typical way of connecting was through community and faith or schools. And that has been so deroded. I want to say deroded. That's not the right word.
Eroded.
Yeah.
Or diminished.
Demorted. I can make up a word. That I think a lot of people are backing out of those areas, and now they're trying to reset. Well, how do I connect? And then it's just the ease of technology.
I haven't really ever heard that type of picture painted before the way you just did it.
I've never done that. Young adults,
there's an epidemic of loneliness. And maybe it's, again, because of the circles we're in. I don't imagine that the young adults that we know, our kids, or what our kids know, are they part of that group that's that lonely?
I think it happens if you're not in a college setting. That's a much easier way to connect. Or in a high school setting, you can typically find friends. But if once you graduate from college, then it's really hard to
kind of exposed.
You're exposed, and then it's like, okay, do I be friends with people at my work? You might not agree on different ways, or am I friends with people at my church? What happens if you don't go to church? So there's a lot
of people.
That's so
funny. We just helped the graduating ladies from the house that we have up near Whitworth. They left, and I think two sets of them moved in together.
Yeah. What will typically happen is people will move across country to connect with somebody they know in real life or that they've had in the past.
No.
Just to say, I feel connected to someone versus just going to a new city by yourself. That's a rare personality type. And so, like, we know our daughter moved to Oregon and eight other friends moved from all over the country to live together in community.
See, and I thought that was more mission minded.
Yeah, it was more faith based.
But even so, underlying thing could be that same thing where I want to be where I'm named and known, where I'm appreciated and accepted, where I feel like I belong and I'm celebrated, where I can express the things that are important to me with others who share a common cause, right? That I just said a whole bunch of words in there, but they were all intentional and meaningful. And I think that those are expressive of real friendships.
Yes. And John Mark Comer, who does this way of life, he talks about the intentional, all of his practices are intentionally designed to be counter formation. And so his whole idea on community is to stand against this powerful force inside, well, our own body, and certainly outside of our body, in which in the culture all around us, basically, that deform our soul and society over time. And to go with that, with the culture, you just slowly become more individualistic and superficial
and isolated.
And so we're trying to push against that. And even more as Christians, I feel, I mean, let's face it, you can go to church every Sunday and still feel alone and be with a bunch of people.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're alone.
When I would give these talks on chastity, I would say to the, you know, to the high school kids or the college kids that I'd be talking to, I would say, never more alone than when in a crowd.
Yes.
The loneliest people were found in the most crowded bars.
Yeah, you can be with tons of stimulation, crowds, and all this activity. Yeah. And I think it actually points to your ache even more. It amplifies it, that all these people are here having a great time, and yet I'm not known.
Yeah. Or this is so empty. I feel the ache, right? The catechism talks about the way that people relate to the ache is that we try to fill it, we try to ignore it, or we try to crush it. If we don't know how to appropriately relate to it, which is to turn to the Lord so he can fill that ache in our hearts. And so you look at the modern nightclub back when I was, now I would say it's the smartphone. The smartphone and the internet becomes the modern nightclub attempt to fill, to crush, or to ignore the ache in the human heart. And that's a scary thought. And I can see how John Mark Comer would say it is so destructive. All right, back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, you're talking about young adults and that phenomenon. I think this also points to the power and importance of friendships in married life. I know one of the very first things I said at that absolute opening of the program was, you're my best friend. And you introduced along the way the idea of intimate friends and about friends. And about friends, I would say, are friends who share a common mission, a common purpose, a common, well, more than just likes. There's something deeper than that. Likes that you're committed to, you're pursuing. So maybe a deep invested hobby, something like that. For me, that immediately goes to Love and Responsibility by St. John Paul II. I know you were thinking that.
I was.
Were you going there? And he talks about the four levels of love. And he talks about attraction. And that's where I'm drawn to you because I see that you're a gift. The sexual urge. There's a desire that I have to be in union with you. And so that I want you to be a gift to me. Then there is love as goodwill. And that's where I want what is good for you. But that's oftentimes where friendship comes in, is love as goodwill. And that's where friends are those who stand side by side and look towards a common horizon and walk together in life. So it's doing enjoyable things together. It's having those common interests. It's being able to have great conversations or rich conversations. And then there's the highest level of love, which is self-donation. It's where I want to forge my very life into a gift so that you could come alive. And it's mutual. So it's the gift message broken out in four levels. And so, that third level is where I want together, we will be a gift in our mutuality towards the world. We'll give ourselves as a gift, right? Does that make any sense? Does that cast any light on things for you?
I think it adds a lot more depth to what I was reading or hearing, listening to, because they really are not looking at when you talk about a common vision or cause, it's almost mission-minded, that friendship should be more than just let's hang out in watercolor.
Yeah.
Let's do something up. So I agree that in my deepest friendships, faith, Christ is at the center. I don't think any friendships where their faith is not a part of it. That is actually, it'd be really hard to do. One time I went out with this gal and she was a friend of my brother's and I was trying to be kind and go out with her and we went shopping and she was getting her doctorate. I think she was becoming a physician assistant. And I could tell immediately that we were on such different, we looked at the world so differently. And I was like, oh, this would never work unless she converted or I felt like I was evangelizing. I'm not even sure. I just remember thinking, this is not somebody who I could have a friendship with because she had, her faith was very, it was all spiritual, new agey.
Well, it's funny. I was talking with three or four of the young ladies that graduated from college. And we were just sitting on the porch waiting for you to show up with flowers because I had a gifts for them on their way out. They're finishing 2 years living in the house and now they're graduating and moving on. And I said to them, do you believe you found your future spouse here? And one of them said, yes. And are you engaged? Not yet. And another one says, oh, we're in love. Definitely in love. It feels like we're it. And I evangelized them right there. I said, in all of my 30 years of marriage, 35 years of ministry, working with many, many married couples, there are storms, there are crosses, there are rainy seasons in married life. And what will give you the strength to overcome those is a common faith in Christ that can be your rock is what is most important in your married life. And what was neat was I had a bunch of amens. They were, yeah, yes, yes. And
yeah, I like the shirt she was wearing, Team Jesus.
Was that the new girl moving in?
Possibly.
That was the new girl moving
in. But I was still happy to see Team Jesus moving into the rental.
Yep. Yeehaw. Thank you, Lord.
We
need more Team Jesus. So honestly, the idea that you're my best friend isn't because I can't go make friends. It's that
you're stuck with me. I know. It's how I feel too.
And no, guys, time is so short. And if you've been blessed or you're open to a lot of kids and that happens in your life, and working is hard for most people to be able to provide in this environment, there's just not a lot of discretionary time to give to, husbands having friends with guys and wives having friends with women. And I don't feel this big loss that I don't go hang out with guys. I think most of the guys I hang out with is in the context of couples that, we're getting together with a couple or other couples.
Well, I really enjoy you in the midst of other couples, just like I really enjoy my kids when we have company over or when their friends come over to visit. There's a different dynamic and a different side of them that shows up, and it's refreshing and fun to see. And so I actually enjoy.
Do you know who always talks about that?
No.
Mary Grace.
Oh, really?
She takes the quote of C.S. Lewis, C.S. Lewis's quote about friendship and how a third and a fourth, others coming into your circle are not a threat to your friendship. You rejoice because there are dimensions of your friend that you don't get to see until the third person comes along and he or she is going to bring something else out of that friend that you don't. And then you rejoice and you just love that friend all the more.
That is especially true when you are a mom driving kids home and you get kind of the brunt of their day. And then you get to see them apart from that setting with three or four friends laughing and giggling and enjoying each other. And I see my daughter in a whole new light where typically I'm taking on her burdens and how can I help and what's going on and where's there ways in which I can shepherd you forward. Whereas in that setting, I just see her with joy and peace and fun. And it makes every mom needs to see that because I think we often get it off balance and we see them only for, oh, they're struggling or they need me or they're, because you are mothering them. But it's so refreshing to see your friends enjoying their friends. And the same with couples. It's really beautiful when we get together with other couples and the conversation and the humor and the faith sharing and just kind of the sharing of conversation that happens. It's very alive.
Well, and I think it has to be cultivated. That's effort. And it's cultivating the right kinds of relationships with folks and then creating the context for it. You do it by creating a beautiful setting with the food, even having an agenda in terms of like mapping out what's going to happen. So it doesn't just all fall into spontaneity. And I think that I'm accustomed to facilitating events, so that makes it easier as well. I do think that this is both an invitation for single young adults who are listening to just hold on to a couple of these things. They really are meant to be gems offered as gifts to you, that as you're discerning who a potential spouse is, if you're called to marriage, please, it's so easy just to focus on the first two levels. I'm drawn to you and I want you to be drawn to me in that sexual urge and that level of attraction. But what will go deeper and endure are when you get to that level of that common cause and then the willingness to forge your life into a gift. That's where the friendship comes in and that's where the dying to self comes in.
Yeah, sense of purpose and mission. Sorry.
Yeah, sense of purpose and mission as a couple. And then the sense of purpose that I have and mission I have to help you become a saint.
Yes.
That I'm going to pour my life out for you. And I'm going to hope, pray, and wait that you will do the same for me.
Yes, that's what Father John Ricardo said when his dad died and the mom said, thank you. Because of you, I know Jesus, is what she said as they closed the casket, which is a very beautiful way to honor a spouse.
That is very lovely.
Because of you.
The last thing is for those of you that got married, if you're listening to this and you maybe didn't have a lot of formation before marriage and you're now in a married life and it's a challenge to say, my spouse is not my best friend. And there are a lot of landmines in even typical conversations and there are patterns of life that have developed that don't seem to be enjoyable and just fun. what I want to say is consider taking those steps to help reinvigorate, restore, and unbind and set free other dimensions of your married life. Retrovi is such a retreat, you know, to go away and to help recover, or seek a path of healing yourself. John Paul II Healing Center or other retreats, as you come alive more fully, you will see that it does definitely have an impact on your spouse. And certainly it, even if it's simply the matter of you'll become more committed to praying for them. So, all right, Carrie, final word?
Happy graduation.
Happy graduation. Happy feast of the
Solemnity
of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Mm-hmm. God bless.